The global world order is being rearranged right now, right before our eyes, and Washington, D.C. is desperately trying to hold on to power. Something very big is about to happen, and we better be paying attention to it. And there are like five huge news developments that we need to cover today, which have massive implications for Western powers. And I'm going to show you something also that's very, very strange that NATO just did, which no mainstream media are covering right now, and it's very concerning. But first, let's start with something that's coming to the Western Hemisphere. On Friday, Russian President Putin started sending a massive armada of battleships headed right for Cuba, right off of Florida's coast.
Several Russian warships are on their way to Cuba this morning. That happened back in the 1960s, the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was just a little thing. Comes days after a warning from Vladimir Putin that Russia could provide weapons to actors that would then attack Western targets over those countries' support of Ukraine.
Early this coming week, if you're standing in Key West, Florida, using your binoculars, you will likely see something that looks like this. Yes, Russian warships performing massive military training exercises, docking in Havana Harbor, right in our backyard. How the hell did this happen? Incompetence, failure on the part of America's leadership is how it happened, that we are sitting now on the brink of another Cuban missile crisis. Yeah, nuclear-powered Russian submarines, destroyers with cruise missiles that can easily attack American cities, and warships that make our Navy ships seem old just by modern standards. Just look at this map.
This is Havana, where the Russian fleet will be docking. And this is Miami, the closest American city. The air distance between Havana and Miami is barely 366 kilometers. Zircon, like we told you, can travel up to 1,000 kilometers, meaning it can strike as far as South Carolina.
You probably haven't seen this on the news in the United States at all because they don't want you to know about it. Just like commenter Denise says right here, what's so crazy here in the United States? None of this is in the news. Yes, Denise, exactly. Exactly, Denise, because they are hiding it. Wait until you see what else they're hiding from you. I'm going to show you. This week, President Biden flew to Normandy to honor our D-Day veterans and basically plagiarized Ronald Reagan's D-Day speech from the same location at Pointe du Hoc. While he was there, he reiterated his love of Ukraine and told Zelensky that don't worry, more U.S. weapons and money are on the way, so they can continue to attack Russia inside of Russia with U.S. weapons. But what no one is telling you is that targets NATO has been selecting to hit inside of Mother Russia. Journalist Brandon Smith uncovered something stunning, and very, very fishy, by the way, which should lead us to believe that NATO is planning for something very big with Russia. NATO struck two different radar stations in Russia. So what, you say? Who cares? But these aren't just any radar sites. As Brandon Smith writes, Russia's over-the-horizon radar systems have a detection range of at least 6,000 miles. The real range is classified, and scan specifically for high-altitude ballistic missiles. They are not designed to detect lower-flying medium-range cruise missiles, or ATACMS, and drones, meaning the two stations destroyed by Ukrainian weapons are meant to act as an early warning system for nuclear attack. Very strange. But it gets even stranger. These NATO targets weren't even being used against Ukraine, meaning, one, they're used to warn against nuclear attacks, which Ukraine doesn't have nuclear weapons, and two, these are fixed-position radars. They don't move. And when they were attacked, they were positioned so they were scanning the southern section of Russia and the south, not scanning Ukraine at all. Here you can see the way they face on this map. Again, they serve no strategic purpose in Ukraine. Unless, of course, it's not about Ukraine at all. And when you understand that, then you start to understand what's about to happen. They are preparing for an all-out war. That's what they're doing. And sources have been saying get ready for terror attacks inside the United States. Yes, terror attacks inside the United States. Now, you remember a few weeks ago, the CIA coordinated and carried out a massive attack inside of Moscow, inside of a Moscow theater. You attacked their civilians inside Moscow. So Russia is ready to return the favor to you at the CIA. And it's going to happen. The FBI director, Chris Wray, told us this week a massive terror attack is coming very soon to the United States. And he said it's going to be very similar to the Moscow theater attack.
But now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall just a couple weeks ago.
I wonder why he knows that. The West is getting desperate to hold on to power, and it needs an enemy, even if Russia isn't an enemy at all. But they're about to be. This week, for the very first time, Putin labeled the United States an enemy state, an enemy of the country. This is unprecedented, so they've labeled the United States an enemy now, officially. Nowhere is this desperation by the West more apparent than with the U.S. dollar right now. Now, if you have your money in U.S. dollars, God help you. It's under assault. And of course, it's declining faster than President Biden's mental health. That's why Americans are buying up gold, they're buying up Bitcoin as fast as they can. And so are institutions, and so are central banks, by the way. Congressman Thomas Massey was just on Tucker's show this weekend. It was eye-opening. And he was especially pointing out how the United States dollar as a reserve currency is collapsing.
At some point, they're going to quit using our dollars as reserve currency. I mean, I watched your interview with Putin, and one of the things, you know, whether you hate him or not, one of the things he said that is true is when we sanctioned him, before we sanctioned Russia, 70% of their transactions were in U.S. dollars. And after the sanctions, it's less than 20% of their transactions are in U.S. dollars. So what we're doing with all these sanctions, ironically, we're shooting ourselves in the foot every time we sanction a country and say you can't use our currency to have a transaction. We're taking away our ability to charge them 3% for that transaction, because when we print 3% more dollars, we're just taking that money.
And we're also sending a really clear signal, which is the dollar's not safe for you.
Right.
I mean, it's the reserve currency because it's a safe haven, because it's a stable country. It's the most stable country in the world, and we're not going to weaponize the dollar because that would be shooting ourselves. But suddenly we are.
China, Russia, and countless other countries are turning away from the United States dollar to settle transactions. Over the past week, we've seen the sharpest decline ever in cross-border payments being settled by United States dollars. And it gets worse. President Biden and Democrats are getting so desperate, in fact, that they're now trying to go after crypto, your digital assets. Last week, President Biden vetoed a bill that Americans in Wall Street wanted. It would have allowed U.S. banks to hold crypto assets and custodian them, just like they do with stocks. But nope, anti-freedom Biden vetoed the bill. They don't want you to hold these types of currencies because it's a threat to them. And President Trump made his position very clear this week.
I will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in the USA, not driven overseas. I will support the right to self-custody to the nation's 50 million crypto holders. I say this with your vote. I will keep Elizabeth Warren and her goons away from your Bitcoin. And I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency.
So the differences right now could not be starker. So that's the news update part of today's video. Now, I have to tell you, even though Biden is doing everything possible to try and stop the progress of the fourth industrial revolution, especially when it comes to blockchain and the technology behind it, your ability to make financial transactions that'll help free humanity, help people gain control of their own financial assets and freedom, and stop this government madness, blowing up the dollar, going further into debt and higher inflation, I've actually found a company whose shareholders are absolutely making a killing right now. This company is up 150% in the first 6 months of this year alone. It's kicking ass, in plain words. It's trading at a 52-week high right now. Take a look at this. And the analyst covering it gives it more than 150% upside from its current value. And I think it's actually conservative, by the way, to say the least. The best way to describe it is if I had to tell my mom about one stock, this would be it. That company is DeFi Technologies. Here is their ticker on your screen. Take a look. I asked them to sponsor this video today, and crypto expert Anthony Pompliano and I both believe this is the number one most undervalued stock in the world right now. Pomp and I are both shareholders of DeFi. That's not hyperbole. So sit back, strap in, and watch. In the next 2 minutes, I'm going to blow your mind. And yes, I own a lot of shares of this company because I strongly believe in crypto, and I believe in what these guys are doing that no one else is doing. And I planned actually to hold my position in this company for a long time for a number of reasons, which I'll explain here in a second. First, look at the price of this company right now as of this recording. And look, it's up 150% so far this year. And again, an analyst just released a price target that shows this stock more than doubling in price to $3 a share. Take a look. It's right here on your screen. Then the head of capital markets for DeFi on a recent earnings call said that he would only consider selling the company if someone paid him at least $10 a share. Listen.
99% of the world's companies trade at 20 times profits. We are trading at 3 times profits. I've said this repeatedly. Between, you know, Ollie Johan, friends, family, me, friends, family, and you know, very, very closely related parties, we control probably 100, 120 million shares. We're not looking for $3 on this stock or $4, especially in an environment that we're looking at now. We're looking at, you know, 8 to 10, which, you know, sounds far-fetched, but you know, 5, 6, 7 is where we should be trading just on a reasonable comp basis.
I love that. $10 a share. I believe this is the most undervalued company I've ever shown you. And I own stock in a lot of different companies, but none of them comes close to this in my view. Here's why. And here's how DeFi technology actually works so you understand it. Okay, number one, DeFi is a holding company, just like Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is a holding company. You go to Berkshire's headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska, you can say hi to Warren Buffett and about 20 other employees working there. That's about it. It's small, okay? Berkshire owns incredible subsidiary companies and stock positions like Apple, Coca-Cola, their crown jewel, Geico Insurance. So all of those ownerships of those companies, yes, hundreds of thousands of employees. But Berkshire Hathaway, small, right? But they don't manage those companies. They manage themselves. It's the same with DeFi. They own a crown jewel of a company called Valour, which is the leading issuer of crypto ETPs. Now, Valour is one of the only companies in the world that has a license to issue ETPs for the crypto industry. ETPs are Europe's version of an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. They are exchange-traded products in Europe. In other words, any hedge fund or individual or sovereign wealth fund that wants to get exposure to crypto can use Valour's offerings of cryptocurrency ETPs. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, they manage 23 different ETPs, and they're looking to issue more as we speak. Getting a valuable license like this for the purpose of issuing ETPs can take up to 2 to 3 years to get. I mean, they were way ahead of the curve. So even if BlackRock or someone else wanted to try to launch their own ETP, they'd have to wait years. Just look how long it's taking for the first ones even to roll out in the United States of America. And that has driven close to $1 billion to Valour already. Valour was a genius to pioneer this regulatory process because they got the ball rolling back in 2017. Huge competitive advantage. So DeFi owns Valour. But that's just the first thing. Now let me throw some insane math at you right now, okay? You're gonna see why I bought so many shares of this company. And you can pause the video and you can write some of these numbers down if you want to, and you can verify them. So Valour makes 7% on assets under management, and they have around $1 billion in assets under management. That means they'll generate around $70 million in revenues in 2024. I'm talking about just specifically this year, 2024. And to run the company is around $10 million in overhead costs. So the math on that is 70 million minus 10 to run the company, that's 60 million this year in net income. The market cap of DeFi is 320 million. And they have around $80 million in cash. So when you take 320 million, deduct the cash, you're talking about a $240 million valuation for everything that DeFi owns, including Valour. Now, if you can buy an asset for $240 million to generate $60 million a year, you're making a 25% return on your money. 25% on your money. Where in the world are you going to make 25% return on your money today? There are very few, if any, such assets. DeFi is one of the cheapest, one of the most attractive, undervalued companies in the world. Again, here is their share price right now as of this recording. Again, this is in my opinion, they are one of the most undervalued companies in the world at the time of this recording, which is why it's important to me that you actually research it now, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, okay? And I'm not the only one excited over this. Eric Jackson, the founder of EMJ Capital, he went on CNBC last week and said, hey, I just heard Anthony Pompliano talk about DeFi technology, so I started studying the company, and he announced he put it on his watch list. And then he tweeted it out. Take a look. So people started paying attention to that. I told you about this company last week on this show, by the way. Since I told you about this company last week, it's up 55% in 1 week. Now you can see why I'm so bullish on this company. And I walk the talk. I own a lot of shares myself. Hey, I'm not going to let this pass me by. After everything I just shared with you, I'd be insane. Guys, study this company. Do your own research on this company. I'll have links to their website and also their stock ticker in the description down below. You can check them out yourself. And we'll see you next time, everyone.